Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our first semester in 2021 in Presal presentation. I'm Daniel Lozano, Chief Investor Relations Officer. I'm here with David Ruiz, CEO and Chairman of Grenergy Renewable, and Maria Rodriguez Gismeros, that is our Sustainability Director. Before I hand you over to David, just remember that at the end of the presentation, there will be the Q&A session, and I will later on explain you how you can ask your questions. Now, I leave it with David.
Okay, I'm sharing the presentation. Thank you, Daniel. And good morning, everyone, and many thanks once again for attending our presentations. We have structured the call to allow for a Q&A session, as Daniel just mentioned. I believe it will be very interesting. So we'll try to take no more than 25, 30 minutes of your time for the presentation. The presentation, as we always state, and the full report have been both uploaded this morning, both to the CMMV site and to our web. And as we have been doing in recent presentations, I'm going to start looking at the highlights of the period. And after that, Daniel, as you know, our head of capital markets, will be presenting the final results in more detail. I will then pop in again to walk you through the status of our pipeline, and followed by Maria, our sustainability director, who will provide an update on the progress of our ESG action plan 21 and present some very interesting news we have on green financing. So let's get started with the key highlights of the period in page two. We have achieved a net profit close to 7 million euros, that's 6.8 million, EBITDA of 13.3. Revenues of 82.5 million euros. That's really the highest numbers we have achieved so far. It's very important to outline the split of those revenues. Roughly 24 million euros are coming from our build to sell division. 50 million are coming from our build to own division. Basically, those are works that we are doing for our CapEx. And 7 million are coming from energy sales. And the remaining 1.1 million are coming from our services division. If we have a closer look at our EBITDA, it's already one third of our EBITDA is coming from energy sales. This is probably 5 million. And two thirds are coming from our build to sell division. You know, our revenues generation profile is changing. And we're gradually making more cash coming from energy sales. And this process will increase next year. A very important highlight of this quarter are the results of our build-to-own division. As I mentioned, it's already 6.8 million euros in sales. And again, 5 million in EBITDA. And this is considering that our largest asset in Chile has had winter. It's the Quillagua PV plant, and is the period with the lowest generation in during the year. So we expect those numbers to gradually go up every quarter. Going to operations, right, and pipeline, we have a total pipeline of 6.3 gigawatts. This is up from 6.1 gigawatts. In the last update, and that's considering that 200 megawatts Scudero's plan move out of the pipeline because they're already in the commissioning process, and this is a total pipeline, an increase of 1.7 compared to 1 year ago, right, in the last 12 months. So okay, we will have a closer look later on in the presentation. Already 400 megawatts operational, 245 under construction. I think this is giving full visibility on our 2021 targets. We already have four plants in four countries, fully operational, and Escudero's plant. It's again, it will show revenues already in Q4 this year. We have also increased our total number of megawatts in backlog. And this is, we are offering visibility on the target of 800 in 2022. And very important, we have still have 2.6 gigawatts in advanced development. Many of these parks will get into backlog very soon. And I think it's already giving some visibility on our targets for 2023 and even 2024. And we have more contracted projects. We just had a new PPA in Spain for Belinchón plant, 150 megawatts. And we will make further announcements before the year ends in our most active markets in Spain, Chile, and Colombia, hoping to surpass the 1 gigawatt threshold of contracted parks in as soon as early as our next update. In concerning ESG, well, a very important announcement. Maria will give you a lot more information. Is the issuance of our first green commercial paper program of 100 million euros, and we are very glad to be the first company in Spain that has really approached the MARF market with this type of green financing for commercial paper. Maria will give you also the light of on our 2021 ESG action plan, and also information of some new ratings that we are expecting to receive before the end of the year. So that's it as a highlight. So thanks, and I give the floor to Daniel for the financials. Thank you.
Thank you, David. So let's move to the financial part. So if you see slide number 5, you can see how total revenue increased 42% year on year to reach 82.5 million euros within the period. Especially in this period, we have had energy sale, 6.8 million euros, rather than the previous semester in 2020, where we didn't have energy sale. And as well, we have had an increase of 30% in the development and construction division, if you compare with previous year result, especially because during the second quarter of 2021, we have sold 55 megawatts of PMGD projects in Chile. As well, in the service division, we have increased total revenue by 22% year on year. And as you know, as we are keeping operation and maintenance and asset management of every single project that we deliver to third parties, this total revenue within the service division is increasing exponentially. Also, to point out, and David will explain you later, that we have Escuderos in operation, and this project will produce energy sales in Q4 2021. Then, if we move to slide number 6, okay, so that's the way those revenue has contributed to our EBITDA, that has increased 40% year on year to reach an amount of 13.3 million euros. Especially this increase has been driven by the energy division EBITDA of 5 million euros, that as we didn't have any plan in operation during the first semester 2020, this has increased the total amount within the first semester of this year. So the total increase of the EBITDA has been 40%. Regarding the EBITDA margin, that taking into consideration that we are just using revenue coming from third-party sale for calculation, the EBITDA margin has increased from 31% by in the first semester 2020 to 41%. in this semester. The main reason has been the energy sale that within the period has had 73% of EBITDA margin and slightly higher EBITDA margin in the D and C division, reaching 42% within the period. Then if we move to slide number 7, okay, this slide, we can see how we have invested our funds. So within the period, we have invested 75.6 million euros, especially in Escuderos, solar PV project, 52.6 million euros, and then in some remaining CapEx payment of the wind projects that were connected during the last part of 2020 and first quarter 2021, Kosten and Dunawambos, around 13 million euros, and then development CapEx, that is 9 million euros, that, you know, is the way we can keep increasing the pipeline under development, and we take it to the ready-to-build phase. So if we move to slide 8, that's the way our cash balance position has evolved during the first semester 2021. We started with a cash balance position of 20.6 million euros. Then we have the positive EBITDA of 13.3 million. The operating working capital has been negative of 16.6 million euros because of some bills pending to be collected, of some revenue that were produced at the end of the semester. Then there has been some negative expense and tax cash out payment of 2.6 million euros. Growth CapEx, as already explained, of 75.6 million euros. Regarding the investing working capital, has been negative at 24.2 million euros, especially because we have reclassified, we have made some current financial asset with the cash we have from the share capital increase. And then in the other side of the slide, we have the share capital increase that, as you know, we made it at the beginning of the year in March, 105 million euros. That is key, you know, to secure our capital needs to financial the growth ahead. Then we have some sources coming from the financial debt, 17 million euros. Other debt has abounded in a negative effect of 7.8 million to reach a final cash balance position of 29 million euros. Then in slide number 9, you can see that the leverage has increased slightly from previous quarter, from 3.1 times net debt EBITDA to 4.4 times, as expected, because we have the main CapEx in payment within this second quarter. But as you can see as well, the leverage is below what we had at the end of the year, especially because of the share capital increase. That is, as I said, the way, you know, to secure our financial needs for creating the portfolio we want to connect ahead. Okay, so that's the financial part, and then I'm gonna hand you over back to David. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Daniel. So moving again to the pipeline update. We always start with this slide on page 11 to give the maximum visibility on our pipeline. As I mentioned earlier on, we have a 6.3 gigawatts total pipeline. This is up from 6.1 in the latest, in the last update. And that's a good advance considering that the 200 moved to in operations. You know, this is the plants in operation are not part of our pipeline. From bottom to top, we can see now close to 400 megawatts in operation, 245 under construction, 772 backlog. So considering the three categories, we are getting close to 1.5 gigawatts. Remember, that's the target we have for the end of 2022. So I believe we are really on track. We remain with a consistent base of projects, 2.6 gigawatts in advanced development and 2.6 gigawatts in early stage. Again, this is really a very consistent base of projects to give visibility to our 2023 targets. And as you know, as we do every year in November, we will publish our 2024 targets and give visibility on the markets where we really would expect this to happen. Moving to page 12, well, country by country, Chile and Colombia are running well. As you see, many projects are moving from early to advanced, from advanced to backlog, backlog to under construction. So things are going as we expect, smoothly. And as you can see in Colombia, that we have already all the PPA with Celsia, all the plants already under construction. And we have a backlog of 72, which is basically the new batch of projects waiting for the new PPA that we will be announcing, I think soon, which is, will be our second package, our second batch of projects in Colombia. In Peru, there is good news because we just submitted, well, we have included now two large wind projects in early stage. Those projects are with very high capacity factor, more than 50% in coastal areas of north of Peru. And those were identified opportunities for a while, but now we are for the first time including them in our early stage category. Going to Spain, the big change has been, well, obviously, the interconnection of Escuderos on one side, and also we have now three plants in backlog. We have, as you know, Abelinchón, which we announced the PPA earlier last week. We have a project of smaller project of 50 megawatts. We believe this will be a build to sell asset. We are building and transferring to third parties. And we have now included the project of 300 megawatts in Tabernas. The permitting process is running quite smoothly. So we expect to achieve the ready to build at the end, very end of this year or very early next year. So we are definitely planning to start construction sometime early next year of this very large 300 megawatts plant. And we also expect to announce the PPA before the end of the year. Our new markets in Europe, Italy and the UK, well, Italy remains with very similar level, 260 early stage projects. It's taking somehow longer than expected, but we expect a large inflow of early stage projects in the coming months. There are quite a few things moving on in Italy. I think the government is trying to simplify the permitting process. Let's remember, Italy has a very ambitious project of more than 35 gigawatts in 2030, and things are not going as fast as they should. And it's basically because of the very time-consuming and bureaucratic permitting process. And I believe the government is working on a new law that will speed up everything, and it will be very good news for this market. In the UK, we're doing very good. Well, we have close to half gigawatt already. And for the first time, we have two projects, one of 15 and another one of 45 megawatts that we have already moved them into advanced development categories. So I think this is good news. And we will have those projects could reach ready to build maybe 1 year from now. So it might be a good surprise for 2023. Okay, Well, in the next two slides, we try to give what we always give information project by project. I think if you have any question, we can come back to these slides during the Q&A. Let's remember that when we move one project to backlog, we already state whether in this column, whether it's built to sell or built to own. As you see, most of the projects now are built to own, and just some particular packages are we decide them to rotate and sell to third parties. In every presentation, we try to focus on one particular topic or hot topic. Remember last time we focused on the CapEx, right? We are very happy to I'm sure there will be some question about CapEx, and we will be very happy to give our comments and our update on this issue, right? But this time in this presentation, we want to focus on a total picture on a progress in Spain, and then let you know our progress in our flagship project in Chile. This is a project for 2024, even 2025. But I think it's a very important project for us. I will explain you why. You know, it's the first time we are combining three technologies in the same project. Reviewing our situation in Spain in this slide. Well, this is the situation in Spain right now. We might announce new projects in our next update. Particularly, we are working quite hard to start including wind projects as early stage. But this is what we have right now in our pipeline. We have Escuderos Plan operational, 200 megawatts. We have Belinchón, José Cabrera, and Tabernas. Those are our backlog projects, right? So we expect to build them next year. In some cases, like Belinchón, we are planning to start construction before the end of this year. And then we have Ayora in Valencia, 172 megawatts, and our largest project, Clara Campoamor. This is more expected for 2023. So that's the situation in Spain. And again, we like to be very, very clear about where we are in concerning our six projects in Spain. And in Chile, our Cosmos project, well, why is this project so important? Well, it's the first because it's the largest project we have in the country. And I think in global, it's even larger than Clara Campoamor. Secondly, because it's the first project where we are combining three technologies, we are planning to install 250 megawatts of PV, 350 wind, and a storage unit of at least 120 megawatts PV, feeding 480 megawatt hours, 4 hours batteries for this project. And that's the estimations of the power generation. We are really approaching the 24/7 base load. And it's very important because these baseload projects are in very high demand in Chile. We got the grid access permits approved a while ago, and as 2 weeks ago we submitted the best bid in the national land tender process, bidos nacionales. That took place in Chile two weeks ago. So we basically are very confident that this project will be effective in 2024-2025. I think that's it. So I will give the floor to Maria on EC. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Just very quickly on the ESG front. We stand by our commitment to update our stakeholders in the progress of our ESG Action Plan 2021. You know, that very clear path on what is it that we want to achieve in this year in sustainability. So at this slide, you can see the full plan for the year on the left. And on the right, we provide details about the actions taken to meet the targets that were scheduled for the second quarter. So in first place, the reevaluation and mitigation plans for ESG risks were reviewed by the Audit Commission, approved by the board of directors and integrated in the company risk management system. So among the main ESG risks and mitigation plans considered are the impact of climate change in our business, the environmental risk related to biodiversity, as well as the social risks related to the engagement with the local communities located in the area of our projects. So another target for Q2 was to provide training in sustainability. So in this sense, 3 sessions were organized with different approaches for management, key personnel, and board of directors. And the objective of these sessions was really to broaden the knowledge and the awareness of the team on sustainability, and also to improve the integration of sustainability in all the business areas and the regions. So in order to achieve the last target scheduled for the quarter, the company approved procedures for the internal reporting of ESG data. But these procedures incorporate quarterly frequency. That's one of the main improvements, and also a system that assigns responsibilities at 2 levels for data collection and data validation. So with this procedure, we aim at improving the accuracy, the quality, and the timeliness of the internal ESG reporting process, and in consequence, the ESG metrics that we communicate to our stakeholders in sustainability reports, in website, ESG ratings, and to our general stakeholders. And at the next slide, and as mentioned earlier in the presentation, Grenergy has incorporated a green commercial paper program in the alternative fixed income market, MARF, with a maximum amount of 100 million. So we are very proud to let you all know that we are the first Spanish company to issue a green commercial paper program linked to a green finance framework that is fully aligned with the green loan principles and the green bond principles. So this green finance framework that we prepare received a second party opinion from Sustainalytics, where the alignment with international standards, but also the credibility and the environmental positive impact of the use of the funds were both assessed. Our sustainability strategy and the performance was also assessed in the report, and Sustainalytics concluded that Grenergy had adequate measures to identify, manage, and mitigate environmental and social risks. And just to conclude my part of the presentation, as you all know, we have a very good rating from Sustainalytics that we announced at the beginning of the year. And we are already expecting to receive more coverage from CDP, MSCI, and also from S&P, CSA, ESG rating. So you know, we'll be letting you all know as soon as those come out. And that will be all on my side, David. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Maria. Thank you, David. So let's move to the Q&A session. So please, if you have one question, send a direct message to the administrator using the chat available in the tool. Just let him know that you want to ask a question. You don't have to write the content. And please do not mute your microphone while you are asking your question and the question is being answered. Okay, thank you. Okay, I think Fernando Garcia from RBC is willing to ask some questions. Hi, Fernando.
Hi, Daniel. David, Daniel, Maria, thank you for the presentation and for taking my questions. No, I have 3. No, first one is regarding your interpretation of this regulation in Spain, and particularly after the clarification released yesterday by the ministry. Your output with PPAs will not be affected. But anyway, wanted to check what's your thoughts there, and also regarding your output that will be affected, taking into account the non-PPAs output. No, that is my first question. Second one is regarding the DNC business. So this 55 megawatt of far downs that you carry out in Q2, I would like to know a little bit regarding price per megawatt and margin that you have achieved in this divestment. And then the third one, David, you commented a little bit on CapEx. So there, if you can clarify if the message that you commented in Q1 regarding CapEx, which was more or less an increase of 10% increase versus the beginning of the year, if that is still in place or there is something different, and maybe a little bit of expectations regarding CapEx going forward. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Fernando. very interesting questions, right? I knew the first one was going to be about the clarification note, right? It's that came out yesterday night. The interpretation we make is, and I think what is quite clear is, I think it's good news, even if we don't agree with the whole thing behind this federal decree. But considering our case, it's as you know, this clarification note was just an answer to Red Eléctrica, which is in charge of settling the clawback as the TSO of the system. And our interpretation is that this clawback will not affect the output covered by fixed price PPAs signed before the enforcement of the Real Decree. And this is our case. The text is quite complex, and we still are making our interpretation. But again, I believe this announcement is quite positive for renewable energy IPPs like us that are... We are leveraging on PPAs as the main driver for our energy sales. In our case, well, we just have Escuderos project in operation during the next 6 months, during the period of the Royal Decree. Just consider we are talking about the winter months, so we estimate the production for this period is around 130 gigawatts for this project. 85% of this production, this is the P50, it's covered by the PPA, so it won't be affected. And the remaining 15%, which in this case is roughly 20 gigawatts, is what could get somehow affected by this reduction, right? But just consider that if this happens, we were considering prices for this extra 15% in our base case in the project financing. We were considering energy prices between 45, 48 euros per megawatt hour, right? That was our base case scenario. And in the current situation, if we really, at the end of the day, we have spot prices in the range between 100 and 180, even with a reduction that we estimate in between 30 and 55, we will be in a much better situation than our base case. So yes, we might have an impact on the price. We will not be benefiting from such a high spot prices, but still we will be having much higher prices than in the base case. So that's really our interpretation. And the project shouldn't really suffer any impact compared to the base case. That's about your first question about the second question of farm downs. We just counted 55 megawatts as farm downs in Q2. This is coming entirely from Chile, and we have and it's public information. We have transferred a new batch of projects to an English, British renewable energy fund next, and it's similar to the one before, with the one we transferred last year to the same fund, and the experience on both parties was pretty good, and we have agreed on a new transfer of five plants. Concerning the price, and that's it's the price has been slightly higher. We don't make this exactly public, but it's been like 10% higher the price per megawatt than what we closed last year, and that's the trend of the market right now. in countries like Chile, and I'd say in some cases in other markets, like as the spot markets are much higher now, in some cases we are able to achieve better prices if we are about to transfer plants to third parties. So they will be in the region definitely higher than 1 million US dollars per megawatt. About your question, well, CapEx is still a very hot topic. I mean, what we see now, and if we remember the information we gave you back in May or in June, at the end of May, when we provided this slide about the evolution of CapEx, well, the situation in terms of panels, it's we think it's getting better. I mean, still the spot price of panels is similar than it was back in May, around 25 US dollars per watt. But for the first time, the forward price is lower. I mean, if we are now closing deliveries for Q1 next year, we might get prices below 24. If we accept deliveries in Q2 next year, we are now achieving 23. So we see that this trend is already happening, and is what we anticipated, that the price of panels will get relaxed during next year, because there will be many new factories, and the bottlenecks of polysilicon in particular are kind of slowly getting solved. It's a supply and demand market, as you know. It depends on so many inputs, especially on the evolution of the main markets, China, India, and now the US. But again, we believe that the price of panels will be much lower, maybe 15, 20% down from the current prices 1 year from now. And that really affects our CapEx for the plants we are about to start construction next year. This, I would say the same with the price of trackers. Well, price of steel and remains quite high, but we see a relaxation of prices at the end of the year. And again, we are getting good proposals from suppliers on the forward prices, right? It's true that we don't see pre-COVID prices still, and it will take a while. Some tracker companies are even saying that it will take 2 or 3 years to go back to pre-COVID prices. But, well, we are not that really pessimistic. I mean, we believe that the price of trackers, and in the case of also all the materials like for cables, like copper, aluminium, we see that this trend of relaxation of prices is really happening. Yeah? The big problem is logistics. Now, it keeps being the big problem. The problem, instead of getting better, it's getting somehow worse in September, right? It's true that now we have all the Christmas campaign shipments from China to Europe and China to the US. And well, it's we all analysts and all the experts anticipated that those were going to be quite difficult months, September, October. We might see some relaxation of prices at the end of the year, but some other analysts say that this won't happen until, sometime after Chinese New Year, which is in February. And it's really becoming a problem because, in our last report, we were saying that container, the prices for a 40-foot container from China to Spain was about 10,000, 12,000, and now we're talking in some cases about 14,000, 16,000 euros. And sometimes it's not about how much you pay, it's so hard to get the booking done. And so far we are being able to ship everything we need, but the prices, we still, it's a very difficult situation in logistics. So Fernando, that's basically my feedback on the three questions. So. If you need any more clarification, yeah.
Many thanks, that's very clear.
Thank you, Fernando. Now we have Jorge Guimaraes from GB Capital. Hello, George.
Hi. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Thank you very much for your presentation. I have three questions. One of them is a follow-up on David's answer, and actually is related to the logistics side. Some of your players, of actually some companies in other points of the value chain of solar, are mentioning that the logistical problems even led them to change slightly their business model, selling their product free on board. My question is, if these questions with logistics that you were just mentioning led to any change in your procedure in your day-to-day operation of the company? This would be the first one. The second one, it's also a follow-up. You were mentioning CapEx costs. I believe the guidance in Q1 was, or in May to be more precise, was 0.45 million meg for this year and 0.395 for next year, if you stick to those values. And the third one, it's also related to your guidance. Before you gave a guidance of 2.46 gigawatt installed by 2023, if that is still your guidance as of today. Thank you very much.
Okay. Sorry, Jose, your last question, because I lost the connection for 10 seconds.
No problem. You had a guidance of 2.46 gigawatt by 2023 installed capacity, and I just wanted to confirm if you maintain that guidance for now.
Okay. Okay. Going to your first question, logistics is really affecting all of us, right? We could. There was this inventory problem and some circumstances, right? But basically, in my opinion, as the largest shippers, they reduced the number of vessels, and so far they have not increased them again. And there is a streaming situation of over demand and very low supply of vessels, and there. Announcements of new vessels coming in, but I'm not that sure that companies like Maersk or Costco, they're really that interested in this to happen, because they're making record profits, right? And that they're quite happy quarter by quarter with this situation, right? So it's really affecting every industry, right? In our case. Well, it's true that in some cases what we are doing, and this is something we are doing with our Chinese suppliers of modules, we are closing the prices on CIF terms instead of FOB, and leaving the responsibility of the shipment with the manufacturer. Right, we are all reinforcing, I think, our departments of logistics. In our case, we used to have three people. Now we have, I think, six. We used to be working with just two, three freight forwarders, right? And now I think we're working, the last time they told me that we are now working with seven or eight different freight forwarders, some Chinese, some Europeans, right? That's kind of crazy, but you really never know where you're going to find this lot and the best available price. So you have to work with many different shipping companies. It's not really the best scenario, but that's the situation right now. You really have to find the best slots. Okay, 10 containers here, 5 containers there, 10 containers there, and it's kind of crazy, right? Situation should get better, right? After in particular the Christmas campaign. The Christmas campaign, everything needs to get shipped before the end of October, and we believe that the situation will get better. That's why, and somehow this is in many Chinese manufacturers know a lot about this, but when they give you a quote in CIF, they're giving a much lower quote if you're shipping in Q1, Q2 next year again. But it will take really years to go back to pre-COVID level, right? That's so it's really It's really a very, very hot topic now, and it will remain a problem for the next few quarters. Concerning our targets for CapEx, and I think, I'm not sure. I think I want to share this slide from our last presentation, right? And I think we gave a total cost of 450, but we didn't give 350, we give 395, just to clear on that. That's the project. Whether we stick on that, well, maybe slightly higher than this, because I think we had estimated well the price of the modules. As I mentioned earlier on, it might be even go below this. This is in euros terms, in US dollars. This is about 21, 22. We are really expecting this to happen. Trackers somehow, we believe they will be, as I mentioned earlier, they will go slightly down, not as low as before COVID, but it will be much lower. So we believe that, and the problem are logistics, right? And again, if logistics don't get any better soon, we estimated that it will get better in Q2. Honestly, we don't know whether this is going to happen. We believe it's going to be not as high as it is now, but maybe we estimated that it will be half, still much higher than before COVID. Well, I don't know. Maybe this would be a bit optimistic right now, that the rest of the figures we reiterate. So maybe more realistic target will be 400, 405, 410. This is for a standard large plant in a country like Spain. And considering our targets, we reiterate our targets fully. And as I mentioned during the presentation, that's very important for us. We are not really speculating with the. I believe some of other companies are changing their business plans, waiting for the prices to go down. In our case, we believe it's very important to deliver. And this is what we have been doing in 2021, and we're really on track. We want to, at the end of the year, we want to have 660, which was our target. We reiterate there. We're on 400 already, and the remaining parks, I believe now all of them are already under construction. Next year, 800, and it's basically coming from a backlog. We have a lot of visibility, again, coming from mainly Spain, Chile, and Colombia. And we are reiterating our target of 1 gigawatt for 2023. I think at the end of this year, we will give more color on where this is coming from, and we will set our target for 2024.
Okay. Many thanks for your clarifications.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, George. Now we have Fernando Lafuente. Yes, Fernando.
Hola. Sí. Hola. ¿Qué tal? Buenos días. Thank you for your presentation. I wanted to make two quick questions, please. The first one, it's on permitting in Spain. David, just wanted to have your view on how you see permitting, if it is going a bit quicker right now, or if we still have these bottlenecks in permitting as we had due to this COVID and the teleworking and this stuff. And the second question, it's on your targets. It's good to hear that you reiterate the targets 2023, but I wanted to have your view on Chile. No, Chile seems to, I mean, Spain seems fine this year, next year, and probably 2023. Chile, it's maybe a little bit lagging behind. And I wanted to have your view on the market and how you see big projects coming on stream. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Fernando. Okay, about your question of permitting in Spain, we always say we wish permitting in Spain to be as efficient as it is in Chile, right? Because sometimes we complain a lot about Chile, but the truth is that from the moment you start a large plan until you get ready to build a status, maybe you need 2.5 years, and in Spain that's really happening in 5 years, and sometimes even longer than that. There were a lot of good words from many comunidades autónomas, right, saying, stating that they will speed up the process after COVID, because they really wanted the investment and they knew that it was about a competition between different comunidades autónomas. To be honest, we're kind of back to where we were before. It obviously differs from, in my opinion, Castilla-La Mancha is doing better, right? And this is our case. And many of our parks are in Castilla-La Mancha, and things are running not as fast as we wish, but at least it's running smoothly. We have Belinchón, José Cabrera, and now the very large plan. But Valencia is a different world. It's really the third permitting process of a PV plan is very similar to the permitting process of a very large real estate development, and that's big mistake. And I don't know, it's going to take like 5-6 months, and our Jura project is taking longer than expected. They create like a kind of a fast track, but don't think it's really helping that much, right? So, and Andalucía, it took a while because it was really affected in our case in Tabernas by COVID, but now it's going quite smoothly, Tabernas. So that's why we feel confident that it will be, after Belinchón, will be our next large project. And that's the reason why we are planning to announce the PPA for this plan next. We always like to announce the PPA once we only sign the full binding agreement for the PPA once we are very, very sure that the permitting process is really there and we can commit to certain deadlines. So that's the situation in Spain. And what I hear from other comunidades autónomas is no really better than this. Well, about our targets for 2023, and I think we can, I think I can share the presentation again so we can have a quick look at what we have in Chile. That's backlog. Well, in Chile, we have two markets. I would say we have the PMGD market, the distribution, which keeps running very well and as expected. And as you can see, we have now 115 projects under construction. I think this time is even slightly more than this. This is for our package of Natixis finance. And we are also building 58 for third parties, right? And this is also PMGD projects. And we also have some projects coming up in backlog. We have 89 here, and many more coming up in advanced development that will move very soon to backlog. So if you ask me about our targets for next year in PMGDs, we are targeting about 200 new megawatts coming from the PMGD market, and that's and we will mandate at the bank or our syndicate of banks for this new package before the end of the year, as we did last year with the one we are executing now of 130 megawatts. Next year we are targeting minimum 150 and between 150 and 200 megawatts. So this is coming from the PMGD market, and now our target is for next year. Well, we have Quillagua, the second phase of Quillagua, that's been ready to build for a while. It's been in backlog. The history behind this park is that, okay, we had everything ready for the closing of this second phase with the same syndicate of banks that financed the first phase. But after COVID, everything got on hold. And now we are in very advanced conversations with the same banks, so to make it happen and to be able to build this second phase start construction before the end of 2021, and we are optimistic, right, about this. But if you look at our advanced development, We have several very large plants in Chile. And if you look at the last three, Teno, Victor Jara, Gabriela, those three are getting close to ready to build. It will happen at the end of this year in the case of Teno, and early next year, Victor Jara, Gabriela. These are different plants. Teno is in next to Santiago. We are optimistic about getting the right PPA for or basket of PPAs for this plant, and we believe it's a great candidate for mandating the banks and structure the finance early next year and start building the plant in the first semester of next year. So it's really our target for Chile for next year. The other two plants these are in the north of Chile. There is a lot more challenging to get a PPA there. What we are now doing is we are converting also these plants. We are changing the environmental permits to include storage. And we believe that adding storage will be easier to get access to PPAs and being able to make it happen. But we don't believe that we will connect these plants in 2022, or it will be more 2023 for our 2023 targets. So next year in Chile, to summarize, we have a large package of PMGDs between 150 and hopefully 200 megawatts. And then we are planning the second phase of Quillagua. And we are also targeting this large plan of Teno, which is in central Chile. And I think it's a very interesting plan. That's the plan for Chile. So it's different market than Spain, but we have this segment of PMGDs that they have access to stabilized price and they don't need really PPA.
Thank you so much, David. May I make just a follow-up on Spain? Very clear the explanation in Chile, by the way. Just in Spain, you are negotiating, you just closed the PPA, and probably you are negotiating the next PPAs or at least looking at the market for the next PPAs. How do you see the prices in Spain in PPA terms? Have you seen any impact from the recent spike in prices in terms of prices, or are you looking now for a bit of a bigger merchant exposure as probably this latter PPA? What are the changes that you are seeing in your negotiations?
Well, the market is very dynamic, as you know, and you can see. I'm not very sure if we have to rethink our strategy concerning the exposure to merchant, considering the announcement from the government. That's you know, but still we remain happy with. It's quite different in Escuderos. We have 85% contracted, and in the PPA we announced last Monday, we have 65, I think between 60-65% contracted, and we are happy with the exposure to merchant of 40%. It's about the situation. It's kind of a seller's market now. It was a buyer's market definitely a few months ago. Well, this PPA we announced last week. It was a very long negotiation, so we fully respected what we had agreed. But to be honest now, with Tabernas, we might be getting slightly higher prices than we got for Belinchón, like even 10% higher. There are many things to consider. Well, there is an auction next month. Let's see what happens, because this also gives a signal. But there is a lot of interest from many comercializadoras and many large utilities, because they really need energy as soon as possible to deliver that energy to their clients, especially considering that the situation we are suffering with the very high. So it's kind of a seller's market, and that's reflecting in slightly higher prices. That's what we expect.
Very clear. Muchas gracias.
Gracias.
Thank you, Fernando. Well, I think we have the very last analyst willing to ask, Anis Gaya from ODDO. Hi, Anis.
Yes. Yes. Hi, Daniel, David, and Maria. Thank you for taking my question. So I have only two quick questions. First one is regarding build to sell business. And just to better understand, you sold 55 megawatt this quarter, but you only posted about 20 million in sales. I just want to better understand if is there a part that will be recorded later in Q3 or just it's far, because 20 million euro is lower than I would have expected. And second question is just on Escudores project. And I'm wondering if it will be some contribution in Q3 or it will be just only in Q4. So that's it for me. Thank you.
Okay, Anis, thanks. Thanks very much. It's a very good question, right? About the contribution when we are announcing and closing a build to sell deal. Typically, we first sign the SPA, right, the sale of the shares of those developments, and then we sign the EPC. So what you see really in this quarter is just this 20 million normally is just the price of the developments and the price of the shares. Now you need to wait for another maybe 6 months, 7 months to leave the milestones of the EPC to get reflected. So it will have a reflection on Q3 and Q4 as well. And that's typically the structure that we are now following. So it's at the end of the day, you will see total revenues of 60 million, 65 million euros for this deal. But what you are now looking at is just the very first tranche when we transfer the SPVs and the development. Okay. About Escuderos, well, we are planning to start delivering energy as early as this week. Well, it's four plants of 50 megawatts, and we are connecting them gradually. Maybe every 2 weeks, we are connecting each plant. We will have energy sales even in September, but normally until you have the provisional acceptance right achieved, those first revenues, those first sales of energy is normally a reduction of capex. They don't go in your profit and loss account of the project, right? So I think it will be Q4, the first semester, where we will have gradually, I think in October at least, we will have two plants fully generating, and maybe in November we will be the four plants fully generating, right? This is our plan. And so no revenues in Q3, but in we will be at full steam in Q4.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Anis.
Okay, thanks, Anis.
We have the really very last question coming from an analyst. Sorry about that. From Barclays, Jose Ruiz. Hi, Jose.
Sí, buenos días a todos. Thank you very much for taking my question. Just one. I am very interested in your storage projects in Chile. And I was wondering if you think, what is needed to boost storage in Europe? Is that EU funds? Is that more capacity payments? So it's more a global question. Thank you.
Thank you, Jose. It's, we are... And I think it's not only our case. We are really in a transformational process right now. I mean, we are kind of we have reinforced our storage capacity. As you know, we announced the hire of Javier Espelta, new head of storage, and the company, our pipeline is really going through a big transformation. I mean, we are really analyzing at every single at least large project we have in our pipeline. And whether it can or it should be transformed, including storage, because definitely it's going to happen. Sometimes, if you look at the numbers, if you look at the Excel file now, Still, numbers don't work, but if you look at the estimation of reduction in CapEx, particularly from 2023, well, numbers start to work in many countries. But it's a mixture of several things. I mean, you really need access to, and you cannot just rely on energy trading. I mean, okay, you can get a benefit from there, generating very cheap during the day and selling that energy at the peak. Okay, that's energy trading, but you somehow need some payments for capacity payments, and that's the case. That's happening, and it's going to happen in Chile. That's already happening in more mature markets like the UK, which is the most mature market in Europe, definitely. And you need to have clarity on payments from ancillary services, right? That's also more clear in countries like Chile and the UK. And it has been announced in Spain, but still we don't have that clear picture. And EU funds and similar funds in the UK and also in Chile, some funds, they don't like to talk about subsidies in Chile, but still it's kind of a subsidy that are going to be needed, right? If you remember, in the early years, the PV was benefited from the feed-in tariff schemes and prices. In this case, what we are looking at are more direct subsidies to the project. And this is what we're doing now in the EU in the next gen funds. And we are working very actively and we will submit most of our projects for next generation, applying for maybe 20, 25, even 30% subsidy in CapEx. If you put all things together, I mean, capacity payments, energy trading, some funds, it's really going to happen in every market. We have absolutely no doubt. It's just about when. It's not the question about whether it's going to be happening or not. We are not still 100% sure, but as early as next presentation in the end of November, we might for the first time publish our storage pipeline. And that will be a very important milestone. We will have a lot of conversation with analysts and with different players in the industry to explain how we see the future of storage and to explain what our pipeline of storage consists of. Because we are very sure that next year or 2 years from now, when you look at every developer, you will see their pipeline, just PV, PV plus storage, wind, storage standalone, and you will really have to look at the pipeline as a whole. So it's a very interesting situation we're living now, and we will try to give color on our storage pipeline as soon as we can.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you, Jose.
Thank you, Jose.
Okay, so I think there is no more question. So thank you very much to you all.
Okay, thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.